Hi there, folks. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. Please make sure you subscribe to us at our website, aminutetomidnight.com, and also our Apple Podcasts and YouTube channels. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. I just want to say thank you to the folks that do donate. And if you do want to help us, it's very much appreciated. And you can donate at aminutetomidnight.com. So having said that, I will now bring on our guest for today, Jamie Walden. So today I have the return of Jamie Walden. It's been a few weeks since we last were discussing on the show here, and is always like fascinating stuff to talk about, and you're always full of lots of information. So welcome back, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on, Tony. It's awesome to be able to connect across the world from New Zealand to Durango, Colorado. So yeah, it's nice to be able to connect.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a long way from New Zealand to Colorado, and totally different. You guys are in spring and we're in autumn. So it's, yeah, I suppose it's a bit of a crossover in terms of weather between spring and autumn. So hopefully you got some nice weather at the moment.
Yeah, we're trying to get there. We're actually heading out to Moab tomorrow. I don't know if you're familiar with that area out here, but it's kind of a desert southwest area. Lots of cool ruins, lots of neat archaeology, and a lot of awesome overland off-roading stuff. So we're punching out there tomorrow where it's a little bit warmer. So,
and oh, well, that should be good if the weather's good.
Out. Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things we could talk about. Not wanting to go too much there with it, but you know, there's that assassination attempt on Trump, you know, which is now the big news across everywhere. It's like, haven't we had this playbook three times or something now?
Yeah. And I'm not playing into that hand, you know, taking the bait on that. And there's too much, you know, speculative nature regarding it, surrounding it. I do know that one of the key attributes, actually, that's a good lead in. I didn't even think about that. But one of the key attributes about this Allen guy that the mainstream media isn't reporting that came across my feed just from different people that I follow that are more in tune to that reality, have more connection points than what I could ever gain access to. But little known is that he was a highly adept, unbelievably hyper-intelligent NASA employee who also worked at JPL. And it's interesting that not one of those attributes are being mentioned in his bio. They just keep talking about him basically being some type of low-level teacher who voted for Kamala Harris or whatever the case is, blah, 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 all this little smokescreen stuff. But there's a lot more to the story than what's going on there. And why that's prescient, and this will be a lead-in to what I think is very pressing right now, is what's going on with the increased revelation, the amount of the dead scientists that are coming up. I think we're at 13 now within the U.S. alone, 9 within China. The European Space Agency based scientific community, we don't even know any data points coming out from there yet about their amount of scientists and how it connects to the greater geopolitical, geostrategic, and cultural shift that's occurring in real time. Because, one of the focuses that seems to be what everybody gets hung up on, and I get it, I'm not throwing shade on anybody that's their world of expertise or kind of like their burden to do a deeper dive in, but everybody's connecting the death of these scientists to the speculative nature of advanced propulsion with regards to UFO, UAP, and disclosure that Trump keeps dangling in front of everybody's eyes. Again, another mass mind control distraction campaign from the reality of what's going on boots on the ground, you know, with this more enigmatic stuff with regards to disclosure. And that seems to be where everybody keeps going with a lot of these different things that are occurring on the face of the earth, especially with regards to these scientists. But, as I'm digging slowly but surely, you know, and it takes a lot of time to really comb through the amount of metadata regarding these things. When I look at the nature of these different scientists, their areas of expertise, their different fellowships that they were under, or research programs, or their consulting firms that they had started, their own exotic scientific and tech startups, the particular programs that they worked for, worked under, and the programs that they worked under, and their areas of expertise, I'll tell you unequivocally that this is my conclusion. Is the reality of what's going on with these dead scientists, and it's related to Iran, and it's related to the energy crisis, it's related to the supply chains, it's related to World War III, it's related to AI and the data centers, it's related to the Golden Dome and the planetary defense initiatives, it's related to the stand-up of Space Force, it's related to the consolidation of all of our supply chains and supply distribution, it's related to our genetic databases and transhumanism, it's related to the Salford seed vault being sealed up and all these other aspects, it's all interrelated, is that these scientists, by and large, have one unifying aspect, not in totality, but in a generality, and that is that they worked on planetary defense initiatives with regards to near-Earth objects and the tracking and signaling of asteroids and comets coming from outer space. So, even with regards to the nuclear tech, that's a lot of them were working on advanced propulsion. Some of them were working on nuclear fusion advanced propulsion. Some of them were working on different aspects of exotic science with regards to metallurgy and specialty alloys that are to be used in different types of motors and engines and rocket propulsion. And some of them were directly working on planetary defense initiatives with regards to the tracking of near-Earth objects and PHOs, potentially hazardous objects coming and striking the Earth. And it's my conjecture that what's happening here is that that the asteroid Apophis is nearer than what most people realize. And the science that they're telling us is not adding up. The mathematics that they're telling mainstream media and the mainstream scientific community and the professional and amateur astronomers out there is 100% a lie. And the reason why these scientists are being killed off is because they are working closely with programs that have locked onto this thing. And they are trying to get the information out there to the public because they know there's a giant government cover up and cover over of the reality of what's coming with Apophis. And again, this is all interconnected with why they need World War III right now, why they need to control all energy flows right now, why they need to shut down particular types of supply chains and supply lines and then consolidate those supply chains right now. And also why they're willing to pursue the collapsing of the global order with regards to the global economies, because they know it's all getting ready to collapse anyways, and they're putting in the infrastructure for the cleanup efforts after the aspects of this asteroid Apophis coming in.
Yeah, that's an interesting conclusion. So are you saying they need to do this so they can control people and control the world ahead of the approach of this asteroid? It's interesting too, I mentioned to you off air just quickly that guy David Wilcock died apparently the other day, and he's somebody that I did a bit of an expose on a few years ago, you know, with his New Age philosophy and all that, and he was a big part of the whole MAGA movement and the QAnon stuff and all of that, and it's just interesting, he was with all that ancient alien stuff and all that, and he's passed away, supposedly from, you know, taking his own life or whatever, so I don't know if that's connected as well, or but it's interesting that it's still in that sort of same field in a way.
Yeah, it is. And that's one of the interesting components, and actually one of the, you know, there's different types of philosophical fallacies that are contained within literature, you know, when we're putting out arguments. And so there's different types of fallacies that are easy to enter into, because you look at like a David Wilcock and they go, okay, so all these scientists, it's because they know about reverse engineered craft, because they know about UAP, UFO data, because they're trying to cover up and cover over the impending disclosure. They don't want anybody to know what they have. So I understand how that's a pretty easy, even reasonable conclusion to come to. But then when you look at it from a macro, you know, there's a lot more at stake going on with the reality of how the interconnectedness of all these different people that are mysteriously disappearing or outright dying and what they're connected to. And then also, again, that greater macro with the geopolitics and geostrategy that's occurring at the exact same time. Because the reality is within the realm of the ufology and UAP program, and even the imminency of disclosure, is a lot of the whistleblowing, especially with regards to advanced tech, advanced propulsion systems, rocketry programs, hypersonics, more exotic-based scientific tech or exotic aerospace physics that are out there. More often than not, whistleblowers or leaks regarding that type of advanced technology actually works to the benefit of the United States government. Or other governments, depending on who's wanting to allow that information out there. Because what it does is it acts as a deterrent to our adversaries who may be peer competitors or have peer competencies with those type of technological advances. They allow oftentimes for whistleblowers or leaks or information or document dumps regarding exotic tech to come out, because it gives pause to China in particular, China, being the chief peer adversary. To a lesser degree, Russia, but in particular, China, it gives them pause to not make certain moves on a geopolitical theater or even economically or militaristically when they know that we have these quote unquote advanced systems out there that maybe they don't even understand scientifically yet. So even knowing that and being informed about that, it kind of removes this being central to the UFO disclosure narrative. To that, it removes that from my psyche as a viable option for why all these scientists are being killed off and what the greater macro perspective is. But when you look at the perspective of the findings from different Planetary Defense Initiative drills and analysis and things that occurred in 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, even on to most recently, the largest planetary defense drill ever conducted in human history occurred about 3 months ago, is there is something happening within the government, the decision makers, the policy makers of the world, the governments of the world, and even the tech community and aerospace community of the world, that they know something that the general populace is not privy to, nor can we ever be allowed to know and understand. And when I say nor can we be allowed to know or understand, it is because of the, you know, Michael Yon has coined this term, but the human osmotic pressure and the human chaos factor that would come with the revelation that we have 2 years, 2 to 3 years, before there is a certainty of an asteroid impact on Earth, and then the resultant Earth science chaos and the restructuring of the global order secondary to that asteroid impact. If they let us know that, if they told us that, if they gave us 2-3 years in advance to prepare for this, you know, kind of psychological and physiological and physical changing experience over the face of the earth, we would have nothing but chaos. All governments would grind to a halt. All manufacturing would grind to a halt. Oil and oil refinery and oil processing and transportation, energy supplies would ground to a halt. All supplies would ground to a halt. Workers would not be showing up to work. Manufacturers would not be showing up. Tech insiders, you know, your guys working on your computer programming to keep your systems functioning, everything would grind to a halt if that information got out, and you would have nothing but, for lack of a better word, zombie apocalyptic anarchy, because that's human nature when there's a fear response over the face of the earth, which is why at all costs, no matter the cost, they must retain a lid on the information regarding the imminency of Apophis and its effects on the earth. And that's why I believe that these scientists are being systematically killed off, not just here. It's not just in America. It's Chinese scientists as well too. And again, some within the European Space Agency as well too. And not to say that we get informed by Hollywood and movies, but we know historically, because of their connection to the intelligence communities, that within the Hollywood purview, we do get a lot of information predicted programming that is intentionally put out there for us. And what you have in particular from movies like Greenland or Don't Look Up, the most recent one with all those A-lister actors, into a Deep Impact, the movie Armageddon as well too. They have shown us time and time again in all these movies that there are scientists and astronomers like this guy from Caltech that specifically worked on planetary defense and near Earth objects who was shot dead on his porch, that scientists that lock onto these things and they start raising the concerns up the chain of command. They start walking their concerns up the chain of command based on the math and the science that they're tracking on these objects. And they are either killed or they are silenced because the government cannot allow the general public to know what's coming until about 2 to 3 days in advance because of the chaos, the resultant chaos. And they've shown us that time and time and time again. And so anyways, not to keep talking in circles, but it seems to me a high probability, high index of suspicion that that is the reality of what's going on.
So people, I'm sure, will be thinking, well, that sounds plausible, but what evidence do you have to base the fact that we're going to have some sort of an impact in 2029 or thereabouts? Because if they're closing down all the information on this, how is it that you are so sure that it's coming?
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's a perfectly viable question. And we should have, you know, the appropriate, apprehension to information like that. And all I can say is I'm not an astrophysicist, you know, nor am I, you know, some high level Mensa based mathematician that's looked at the data. All I can say is that I'm reading those types of people's data and what they're saying about Apophis. And you know, and this is one of the major psyops about the whole flat earth and NASA never a straight answer and all the, you know, the hyper conspiratorial based truther movements. Is what they've done is they have unwittingly been used to sow distrust of any data, any science, any information coming out from any government agency or any scientific community. And that, again, that is just an outright wrong fallacy to operate in, that it's all a lie. It's not all a lie. Some of it is a lie, absolutely, but not all of it's a lie. So even within the confines of the different space agencies, and including NASA and JPL and even the different Air Force agencies and the Air Force research laboratories and then European space agencies and Eurasia agencies, they all are producing white papers and data with regards to Apophis. I mean, as far as we have the, we'll call them celebrity physicists, right? Neil deGrasse Tyson and these different MIT professors that are openly talking about Apophis. There is a lot of information out there, mountains of data of information out there regarding Apophis to be able to make pretty secure predictions, pretty confident predictions about what's coming, when it's coming, how it's coming, and what the effects of it are going to be based on the greater scientific and intelligence community findings with regards to it.
So what's the difference between those people and the scientists that are dying then? And why is there some information out there and some not?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll speculate. I could never say definitively. I would say it's because they're wanting to blow the whistle on it. You know, and they're wanting to, you know, and that's the conjecture, speculative part is why are they dying? I can only speculate that it's because they are talking to people about it, are wanting to warn people about it, are putting pressure on the appropriate institutions and institutional leadership to warn the people about what's coming. And because they're pressing on it, that's why they're being eliminated, you know, because you have a lot of people within these different communities, academia or scientific or whatever, aerospace, both private and public sector, that'll never say a word. Right. They'll never say a word because, you know, the non-disclosure agreements, the different security clearances that can be revoked, the financial hardship that can be imposed on their family. There are viable threats that, you know, when you're operating at these different higher level security clearances and what you're able to have access to and be read into, where there's enough of a threat that a lot of people won't ever talk no matter what. But there's always those few that start getting a little pissed off, for lack of a better word, as they're reading the data and they're going, we need to tell people, we need to warn people, we need to blah, blah, blah. And they're being shut down time after time again. And then they start getting a little bit more vocal about their findings. Typically, that's when we start seeing deaths occur, or disappearances, or just outright character assassinations. You know, they find things on somebody's computer. I won't say it out loud, but they find grotesque, vile things on somebody's computer, or are the one guy at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, he magically kills his wife and then kills himself and kills somebody else. And yet he was specifically working on those programs. So now you have to discredit anything he ever said because the guy was a deranged, delusional kook. You know, same with that other female who made post about being attacked with directed energy weapons and how she was being targeted. And she started blowing the whistle on the fact that there was hostility coming against her with regards to the program she was working on. And then lo and behold, she's dead. And they ruled a suicide, but yet the CIA, the intelligence community, says that they're treating it as a homicide. So you can kind of see how it starts. They start painting different narratives depending on what people within these, we'll call it whistleblower capacities, are wanting to get out there. And depending, they either make them disappear, or they discredit, they character assassinate, or they outright eliminate them through different means.
So what do we know about Apophis? Like, what is kind of established or factual things that we know you can hang your hat on and say, this is what we do know?
Yeah, they do know. And this is where, you know, it's like, there's always going to be competition in data, right? There's always going to be competing perspectives. And I get that. That's why it's kind of take it all in, take it all with a grain of salt, take it all in, and then make informed decisions on your own. But they do know with certainty it's coming. They do know with certainty when it's coming, 2029, and then comes back around again in 2032. So they do know with certainty the different orbits, elliptical orbits, and how big it is, what it brings with it, how big is the debris trail, what is the composition of it. And they do know that it's going to have significant effects on the Earth. They also do know with certainty that it's also going to, that it's absolutely going to pass as near as between the Earth and the Moon. Okay, so they know that's a certain thing, and they do know that it's actually going to pass so close that it's going to be below some of our higher altitude, for lack of a better word, satellites, and the potential to take out satellites. So they do acknowledge the closeness and the timing and the size and the composition. That is kind of, there's a uniformity understanding about those aspects of it. So where the competition or the competing perspectives come in is with regards to a direct impact versus a near miss. And that's where you have competition within the mathematical analysis about what's actually going to occur with the asteroid. And so some within the aerospace and astronomy and planetary defense communities say it's a 100% certainty that this thing is going to hit the Earth. It's not a LE. It's not a extinction level event. So I categorically reject that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a third of the Earth affected by it, and then all the resultant effects of a third of the Earth being wrecked, for lack of a better word, by Apophis. So there are some that say 100% impact by Apophis. And then you have others that say, no, it will be a near miss with resultant effects by Apophis because of its debris chill, its effects on our magnetosphere, our gravitational fields, the core of the Earth, our crustal plates, and all that kind of other stuff that'll come along with it.
So how big is this asteroid?
They describe it as the Empire State Building. So, you know, that's kind of like the frame of visual frame of reference that we can look at. Apophis is the size of an Empire State Building. Now we go, okay, over the span of the Earth, how big a deal could that be? Right. And it's like, well, when we talk about an asteroid the size of a Volkswagen, what its competencies and capabilities are destruction wise, when it's merely the size of a Volkswagen and, you know, it can basically be, for lack of a better word, a continent killer at that size, the size of an Empire State Building with its kinetic energy that it has the capability of producing, we're talking about pretty significant Earth-based effects on every aspect of our corporate reality.
So, okay, that is obviously a big impact. And you say a third of the Earth and all that. Well, that ties in quite well with Revelation, the book of Revelation, and a third of the Earth. And what sounds like an asteroid hits and so forth. And it's predicted in the Bible or foretold in the Bible there. So, okay, if they know this thing's coming, do you think, are they planning to try and shoot it down, or is it too big to do that? Can they not do it?
What? 100%. And I'm saying 100% because they have. And they actually, and that's why some of these scientists that were specifically working on aerospace nuclear weapons, that shouldn't be lost on people. Again, I say this tongue in cheek, but if it helps give you perspective, then that's important, is the movie Armageddon. And so I say the movie Armageddon because the whole point was an inbound asteroid, and you know, the governments of the world unify to create a planetary defense initiative, and the plan that they come up with is to drill into, land on with mining operations the asteroid, to bore into it, to detonate it from the inside, to break it up into smaller pieces in the hopes that the Earth could survive the smaller pieces and the atmospheric burn would eliminate a lot of the other ones. So that is not Hollywood. That is actually a part of our active planetary defense initiatives. In fact, there's been private companies that have been stood up, one in particular called Astroforge, under the guise of mining rare minerals and rare metals and even helium off of asteroids and comets and planet bodies. And they said, but also these quote unquote aerospace mining operations could be used to burrow and land remotely on asteroids moving at, you know, unfathomable speeds, to bore into them, to detonate them in case of the need of planetary defense. So that's not Hollywood. That's actual science. And where this comes into play is, again, the planetary defense initiatives that were worked out in, I believe it was May of 2018, is when they held a big global-based planetary defense drill where they simulated an impact off the east coast of an asteroid. Lo and behold, everything about the drill was centered around Apophis without ever seeing Apophis. And within their war game, they sought to deflect the asteroid by smacking it with kinetic energy. Then they sought to drill into the asteroid and detonate it with nuclear weapons. The first one failed, the second one failed. Then they sought to launch nuclear weapons at it to just deflect it by a degree or two instead of breaking apart, but deflect it with nuclear weapons. That failed as well too in their simulation. And so then their conclusion of the simulation in 2018 was that nothing they did could deter the asteroid from coming. And what they realized is the number one threat wasn't the asteroid itself, but it was the amount of people that they needed to manage on the eastern seaboard. So the conclusion presumptuously was, then we need to reduce population as quickly as possible. Now, that shouldn't be lost on anybody, because as soon as they did 2018, Right after that, they stood up Space Force. Right after that, they initiated a planetary defense initiative. Right after that, they hosted Event 201. Right after that, the pandemic occurred over the face of the Earth, where they began consolidating everything and doing some degree of population reduction. And right after that, they have the incessant, obsessive push for World War III with unlimited nuclear exchange. Like, it all has to occur right now. And all of these things were born out after they ran their simulation. So with regards to secondary to your question, too, is do they think they can deflect or do whatever? They also stood up the DART mission, which is interesting because one of the scientists who has been killed specifically worked on the DART mission, the DART survey. The DART mission was the double asteroid redirection targeting thing or whatever, and it was successful, where they took a piece of space junk, satellite space junk. They actually did this, not a simulation. They physically did this, and they steered it and slammed it into a space body, a space rock, a pretty significant size one, to see if they could move it off course by a degree or two as a test in case, quote unquote, in case an asteroid was ever coming for a direct impact with Earth, could they redirect it with some giant kinetic force and push it off course? So all that to say is, none of this is hyperbole or sensationalistic or, fantasy or sci-fi. All of this is happening in real time. They're actively doing these things. And the majority, I can't say all, but a lot of the scientists that have gone missing or been killed actually worked in these programs. And somehow, in a cursory raid, they actively worked on these programs.
Yeah, that is very interesting. So you mentioned Hollywood and also predictive programming. I think back there was an episode some years back of The Simpsons, and right at the end of the episode, and it was about a deep impact type of thing, they showed this asteroid approaching the Earth and a bunch of aliens riding on it. And I was thinking, well, that actually would tie in quite nicely, wouldn't it, with what you're just saying, where they use an alien and UFO thing as a distraction while the real thing that's coming is an asteroid.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, is the disclosure, UAP, UFO, whatever ilk, cannot be divorced from the Apophis planetary defense, whatever psyop that's going on as well, too. It's not an either or, it's a both and. And I think that that's a critical distinction. I'm glad you brought that up, Tony, for people to make, because they're going, oh, it's all about advanced propulsion, anti-gravitational propulsion because of the NHIs and the non-human intelligence and because of the UAPs and the disclosure and the exotic tech and it's about UFOs. And then I'm over here going, like, no, it's about Apophis, it's about asteroids, it's about whatever. And it's like, no, it's not an either or, it's both and. And I agree with you that the UFO disclosure, advanced tech, advanced propulsion, whatever anti-gravitical stuff that they keep leaking and they keep whispering about intentionally is actually a specific psyop distraction. And it's going to be used for a part of a great deception secondary to Apophis. So notice 3i Atlas, which was in every headline everywhere all over the world for about 3 months straight, and Avi Loeb and all the other astronomers and everybody's and every pontificator and academics talking about 3i Atlas, which was a giant asteroid. And what was the center of the conversation about 3i Atlas from CNN, Fox News to MIT to anywhere else under the sun was that it could be that it's actually an advanced alien craft that is cloaking itself as an asteroid. So again, we have that precedence, and that was put out there for predictive programming. I said, when they started talking about 3i Atlas, I had a couple people ask me my opinion on it or my comments on it. And I said, it's a nothing burger. It's a giant nothing burger. It is literally a conditioning psyop because of Apophis. That's why 3i Atlas is everywhere in the news. So in 2.5 years from now, 3 years from now, when this Apophis thing comes on the scene, your subconscious will have a construct for how they're going to spin what's going on with the asteroid Apophis and what they're going to have to do on the face of the Earth after the effects of it. So it's all interconnected.
So why do they need to have World War III and control people's travel and to have a depopulation event ahead of this? What's the rationale behind that?
Because in the simulations that they ran, the number one threat was the human chaos. So believe it or not, and I'll put this out there for the listeners, there is actually an altruism, although it may be perverted and corrupted, there's an altruism to a lot of these people, these central planners, and why they think the way they do and the things that they say that they're going to do. Even with regards to depopulation, I'm not saying I'm agreeing. I'm just saying this is their mentality, is that in order to save and protect the viability of the species of humanity, the best thing we could ever do is actually reduce the population now so that we can manage that population after a great cataclysmic event. I'm saying that's their mentality. I'm not saying agree with it. That's their mentality. And you can read all their white papers. You can read their peer-reviewed articles. You can read the simulations that they run and why they run them and what their findings are. All you have to do is read. You don't have to take my opinion for it. Just read what they say. So they actually want to have a controlled depopulation now rather than the chaos later that collapses all the critical infrastructures. So at the end of the day, it's about maintaining a continuity of operations, not continuity of government, as we know, COG, right? Continuity of government operations, but it's actually a continuity of viability of the species and continuity of infrastructure. And that's why they're putting these things in place. So if I can reduce your mobility by pushing EVs and pushing 15-minute cities and pushing carbon credits and pushing all that stuff, I can reduce your mobility. That helps me. If I can consolidate information so that certain information can't get out through all the tech platforms, through Meta and Facebook and social media and Google and blah, blah, if I can put controls on information and information flows, that helps protect the viability when the emergency occurs. So there isn't that chaos factor. I can shut down, I can turn off, I can cancel culture, I can deplatform whatever when the time comes, which they put all that in place now. If I can control supply and supply chains and consolidate them and control them as a central planner, that's what I'm going to do, because then I can dictate and manage these supply chains without them being corrupted by smaller actors or outlying actors that are going to corrupt all these things. If I can keep you from clogging the interstates and interstate commerce and our shipping lanes and our deep water ports and our bridges because of the chaos, the fear of the chaos and everybody gridlocking these institutions, now I can move troops and materiel and resources freely without that chaos stopping our ability to manage the emergency. And so that's why they're doing what they're doing. And that's also why even some of the aspects of the immigration and letting down the borders, not just here, but in Europe and everybody else, they say it's because they're actually trying to increase the viability of the genetic viability of the human species. It's kind of like dogs, right? Like a mutt is much more resilient to all the effects and diseases and blah, blah, blah than what purebreds are, right? You have a German shepherds and they get hip dysplasia and they have these bone cancer problems. They have all, because they're pure. So we want genetic viability. So then that even gets into the PCR test during COVID and why they created global genetic data banks with all the PCR tests. So they have genetic survival vaults. Then they have a non-GMO heirloom seed vaults that they've done. They have Catherine Austin Fitz, who is blowing the whistle on the $21 trillion that she knows of as a former member of the Housing and Urban Development, of $21 trillion of underground super cities that the government has been building for the last 30 years, right? Then we get into the Elon Musk and the private public-private partnership to try to colonize off Earth and create viability for things off Earth. Then you have the control mechanisms through AI to replace humanity. And why now, because of the advent of AI and robotics, advanced robotics, why now they're okay with reducing a particular percentage of humanity because they can backfill those jobs with tech when the time comes. So again, when you get the macro picture, you can see the interconnectivity of all these different mega moves that are being made by the quote unquote elite or the central planners of the world. It all makes sense. And it's all secondary to what they know is coming with Apophis.
Well, you covered so my next question to it. You started to there. You're talking about the underground cities, because I was going to ask you about the elite. What are they doing? And I think, okay, so are they also thinking about where they're going to be to try and preserve themselves? And I think about people like Peter Thiel, who's obviously with Palantir and so on, and he bought himself citizenship to New Zealand so he can run to New Zealand, and there's a lot of others that can. I mean, are they maybe diversifying so they have different places they can go?
100%. And you know where else is Greenland. And that shouldn't be lost on people with all Trump's move about Greenland. And isn't it interesting that the Gerard Butler film about an impending asteroid coming in and restructuring the whole of the Earth is the arc for the global elite and those who were selected based on their skill sets and their IQ levels and their genetic makeup were to be preserved in the ground in Greenland. That's the whole premise of the movie and why it's called Greenland. So both New Zealand and Greenland have kind of been at the core center of that. Also secondary to that is, I don't understand this. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, when you think about the nature of the geothermal instability of the Hawaiian Islands, but also Maui. And so then that even gets into the Lahaina fires and stuff like that. And then how the elite, including Zuckerberg and Oprah and blah, blah, I don't know, and all kinds of names specifically are building deep underground superstructures on the island of Maui. So that's wide out there in the open. They talk about it openly. You can watch interviews of them talking about, I think Zuckerberg's $220 million underground redoubt in Maui on the Hawaiian Islands. So they are. And again, the reason why all this is pressing is because every single aspect of anything that I've ever said for the last 40 minutes is biblical. There's a biblical precedence and there's a direct scripture specifically talking about every single one of these details, including the elite, the mighty men, the great men, and the general, blah, 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 hiding themselves in the rocks of the earth from the great and terrible day of the Lord and the wrath of his Lamb because of what they see coming from the sky. The heavens will be shaken. Everything's about the heavens, and they'll look up in the heavens, foreboding after those things coming in the heavens, and a great mountain of fire cast down in the sea, and a star is falling from the sky like figs wrapping from a tree, and a third of the grass burned, and a third of the trees burned, and a third of the fish killed, and a third of the water is becoming wormwood, and the great earthquakes, and the atmosphere, the sky being rolled back like a scroll, and then the superheating of the earth through the radiological aspects of the thinning of the magnetos. They'll hide themselves from the searing heat of the sun, and they'll do this and they'll do that. But like every aspect of it, I wouldn't say it just because that's what the academics are saying. I only say it because that's what the Lord has said. So the biblical worldview will always trump the academic and secular humanist worldview. But what's fascinating, because it's God, because he's so wise, is that the secular humanist academic scientific worldview is saying verbatim what God already told us in detail in his scriptures. They're saying verbatim. They're saying a third of the earth. They're saying it'll be like a bird shot from a shotgun hitting the earth. One third of it, depending on where it's at on its axial, you know, on its axial tilt and on its spin, as we go through the debris trail of Apophis, and then it's going to do crustal plate displacement, and then it's actually going to release all these sulfuric things and these things in our underground aquifers, which is going to poison a third of the world's fresh water so they won't be drinkable. and then it's going to superheat it's going to thin the magnetosphere and create magnetic disruptions, and it's going to actually make the Earth wobble on its axis, not a pole shift, not a pole flip, but an axial wobble, which is going to create super tsunamis and super inland typhoons and hurricanes and super storms the likes of never wish. And it's going to bring with it hailstones that are mixed with the different frozen gases from outer space that'll ignite when they hit our atmosphere. And it's going to cause widespread forest fires all over the face of the Earth. And secondary to that, it comes with particular debris that our bodies don't have immunity for. So it brings about pestilence with it, but also global famine secondary to the crops that are being burned up. So this is what the academics are saying, not me. That's what the academics are saying. And then I read the scriptures and I go, that's exactly what God already told us. Exactly. Verbatim.
That sounds very interesting. And you're right. That is what the scripture says. So, you know, like us hearing this, what do we do? I mean, what the listeners do, you could feel hopeless and think, oh, well, there's nothing we can do anyway. So what would you say to try and give some people some encouragement or something to do, you know, from a practical level or spiritual level?
Yeah, well, you know, to the redeemed of the Lord, our response is the polar opposite of what humanity's is going to be. I mean, I want to say go watch the movie Don't Look Up, but don't. It's kind of they're vile. They cuss like crazy in that movie or whatever. So if you're not offended by that and you can watch it for what they're actually showing, you know, is the humanity, because they don't have a hope. They literally don't have a hope. They don't know what happens after death. They don't whatever. They are going to be unhinged, and it's going to be chaos the likes of which the world has never seen. But for those who are in Christ, it says we are not of those who fear bad news, Psalm 112. Our hearts are steadfast, trust in the Lord. Our hearts are secure. We have no fear. Actually, we have the complete polar opposite heart posture as we see these things. We're told in Luke 21, when you begin to see these things taking place, you stand up and you look up, for your redemption draws nigh. The name of the movie is Don't Look Up. And yet we in Christ are commanded to look up. Why? Because our redemption draws nigh. There should be an eager anticipation of these things, an eager hopeful even though there's consternation, perplexities of the uncertainty of it all. I get it. Like, absolutely. We're human beings. We have emotions. We have physiological responses to fear or things that are unknown. But ultimately, when we're secure in Christ, we have no fear, because we don't even have fear of death. And so if there's anything I would tell anybody who's listening to this, if the information does cause a fear response or an anxiety response or a, oh no, what do I do response, I would go, praise God. That should tell you that you need to solidify yourself in Christ alone more. Because if we're not given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That sound mind in the Greek is the Greek word sophroneo. And that word means a mind that has been rescued, salvaged, or delivered from absurd, illogical, or highly emotional thoughts. So we're to have a sound mind in Christ, not be unhinged because Jamie just talked about Apophis, you know, or whatever the case is, or whatever the next shoe to drop is on the world sphere, nuclear weapons in Iran. I think that's going to happen within the next 6 weeks to 3.5 months. But that shouldn't cause us to be unhinged. Jesus said, I've told you about these things ahead of time so that you will not be caught unaware. He says, see, I'm telling you so you can prepare your heart, so you can secure yourself. Like, know me, know my hope, know my glory, know my promises, know my covering, know my provision, know my love for you. And in fact, when we look at when we read the book of Revelation, as each one of these seals are being popped and these trumpets are being blasted and then the bowls are being poured out, at each turn, the heavenly hosts do nothing but rejoice and praise and worship more and more and more. They're like, praise God, praise God. It's actually happening. It's finally happening. And if we really knew our eternal security in Christ Jesus, and if we knew the depth of the wickedness that has been wrought on the earth by the powers of darkness and the trauma that the children and people on the face of the earth are undergoing every day, as we begin to see these things taking place, yes, we're going to have some emotions about it, but ultimately we should be praising God. Praise God, it's almost done. And he will be our God and we will be his people, and never will we have to depart from his presence ever again. It's about ready to be done. And so I look at it with, yeah, some, you know, preparedness minded unknowns. But more importantly, I look at it going, I can't believe it. It's actually happening. The Lord is going to set it all right. And he's going to shut the mouth of all unrighteousness forevermore. And he's going to renew the earth, the heavens and the earth. And never again will any of this lawlessness be allowed to coexist with it. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
That sounds good. And a good way to finish that. So I do encourage people to make sure you, if they don't already know the Lord Jesus, to make sure that they do. They figure out how to get themselves saved, and you know, that's, there's articles about that on the Minute to Midnight website, how to get saved if people aren't already, and those that are, and to get our lives and our walk close to the Lord as close as possible. So Jamie, where do people find you if they want to get a hold of you or wanted to see your, you know, website and so forth?
Yeah, they can subscribe to my content on YouTube just under Jamie Walden, and there's where I post the different interviews that we're out there doing, or even our church sermons and services are there as well too. And they can also contact me through omegadynamics.org. That's omegadynamics.org.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's definitely been an action-packed expose of things that you see happening, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that'll want to probably listen to this or watch this more than once to get their head around it and share it, hopefully. So thank you.
And I'll give this qualifier, Tony, as I always say, just because that's where I'm at, you know, as far as pulling into the point, it doesn't mean that I'm right. I could be totally wrong, but there is enough evidence, you know, within law enforcement. We work off of what's called the preponderance of the evidence, or the totality of the circumstances. So when I look at the preponderance of the evidence and the totality of the circumstances, this is the appropriate conclusion, the only conclusion that I can adequately draw when you pull in all the different data points.
Yeah, that sounds fair enough. And I guess like the most important thing is for us to be spiritually prepared, whatever happens. If it's
Amen.
War,
absolutely.
if it's an asteroid, if it's famine, financial collapse, whatever,
what a unique opportunity to be a part of the great harvest. I mean, like I said, there's nothing that I said that isn't in the Bible. There's nothing that I said that isn't in the book of Revelation. And we're commanded to hold out the reason for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. So while everybody's unhinged, as these things keep escalating, as we keep working our way up the escalatory ladder, with regards to this prophetic outpourings going on, we have the answers. And people go, well, I don't understand what's going on with Iran. I don't understand what's going on with Russia. I don't understand what's going on with China. I don't understand what's going on with the global economies. What's going on with AI? What's going on with change? What's going on with these asteroids and the dead scientists? We can go, here, I can show you. And if God is true and faithful about that, this is why the Spirit of Christ is prophecy. If he's true and trustworthy about these prophetic things that you can read and then you can see it, you can read it and then you can see it. Do you think maybe what he says about his son, Jesus, is true as well too? And do you think maybe that what he says about the forgiveness of your sins removed from you as far as the east is from the west is true too? And eternal life and God's justice and holiness and righteousness, but also his love and his compassion, his grace and mercy. So we have a very unique opportunity because of the depth of these crazy enigmatic things that are breaking out. We have a very unique opportunity to be co-laborers and co-operators with God in this last great harvest of the souls of men. So very, very unique time to be alive.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Jamie, for being on with me again today. And that was definitely fascinating. And I really appreciate the insights that you brought today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Tony. I appreciate it.
No worries. Cheers. And folks, please make sure that you share and like this video. It really helps our channel if you share it and if you like it. And also, as I mentioned at the beginning, if you're able to donate, that's always much appreciated. If you appreciate what we do, we appreciate the help. So God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another show in the next few days.